Thank you very much, Pastor Mitch, for those kind words. And we haven't seen each other for 2 years. That's a very, very long time. I usually, every year, look forward to the October so I could come and visit you and many other friends here and enjoy that fellowship. In New Zealand, it is a very lonely life for us as we do not have any other like-minded churches. Believing in the same things that we believe in and practicing the same things that we practice as a church. Now, that's pretty hard. That's one of the reasons why I kept coming year after year for so long. And establishing this meaningful friendship of the churches and pastors, that is wonderful to me and to our church as well. So this trip, I was didn't really plan to come, since COVID left a few things in every one of us, plus my wife wasn't feeling too well, and it is she that suggested that I should go. That was amazing. So it didn't take too long for me to quickly work out a schedule with her approval and blessing and to come over here. So she's doing all right, but I would appreciate your prayers for her that she will be going for a surgery next month. Today that she'll be seeing the surgeons and they'll take an MRI, which will give them a clear picture as to how to go about this surgery. It's a bit tricky, but they are quite confident they can do that. They will have to remove a cyst in the stomach area. So I would appreciate your prayers for that once the date is set for surgery, and I will let you know when it is going to be. And so that will help her in the days to come by God's grace. Well, it's lovely to be here. It's only a few days I have been here. I wish that it can be a few more days. But unfortunately, it's not going to be the case. But it's wonderful, the fellowship that I have enjoyed so far with our friends and in Clarkston as well. And again, thank you very much for your faithfulness in praying for us and our church, as well as for the work in India and other Tamil-speaking countries. Myself and our church, we are so privileged to have this relationship with you and to enjoy your kindness and your prayers and support. That's wonderful. And that's how it is to be. You are a great supporters of us and great friends. So thank you very much for all that. Well, this morning we are going to look at Luke chapter 19, and let me read a few verses from there as we begin the first 10 verses in Luke chapter 19. It's a familiar passage to all of us, right? Let's hear God's word. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So I'll stop our reading there and let's bow our heads before God briefly. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for this portion of Scripture that we were able to read together. We pray that you would help the preacher as well as the hearers this morning, that we might know the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, even as we hear your word. Grant us help. We know without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand your revealed will. We cannot apply it in our hearts. So we pray for your mercy and help this morning, even as we open up this passage of Scripture. Grant us help, we pray. And ask these in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this man's name is familiar to most of us, Zacchaeus. Well, I have three things in common with him. I don't know, once he became a Christian, how he developed in his Christian life. We are not told anything in the Scripture about that, but at least three things that I have in common with him. This man used to be a sinner. He was a crook. He was a thief. He did not live a righteous life. I used to be like that. 44 years ago, a sinner. Didn't know what righteousness is. And lived the life following the direction of the devil. Secondly, he became a Christian. That happened to me as well. Many, many, many years ago. So we share that commonality. He was a Christian and I became a Christian too. The third thing that we are told here in this passage that he was a short man. That he was of short stature. I'm not sure how short he was. For the Holy Spirit to mention that very clearly here, probably he was noticeably short. Now, I'm 5 feet 4 inches, but I don't know how short Zacchaeus was. Well, we saw that in our reading that he had to climb on a tree to see Jesus. So probably he was very short, even maybe shorter than myself. So there are three things that I have in common with this man. But you people, being Americans, you are much taller than I am. In Clarkston, I wished that they gave me a platform to stand in the pulpit. That's one of the problems that I always have wherever I go. But this is very comfortable. No problem here. So I often think about Zacchaeus whenever I had to stand before a tall pulpit. There we are, then. We are going to look at this man, Zacchaeus, this morning and about God's gracious dealings in this man's life. But just a couple of things before we get into the text. Firstly, a word concerning the link with the preceding chapter. Chapter 18. In that chapter, Jesus had said that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You read that in verse 25. And when the disciples responded by saying, who then can be saved? Now Jesus tells them that what is impossible with man is possible with God. Now in the story before us, we have plain proof that it is so. It describes for us a notorious, corrupt tax collector becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this chapter is describing how a camel passed through the eye of a needle. Now, secondly, there is also this, that of all the population of bustling town of Jericho, all the disciples of Jesus who lived there would have judged that Zacchaeus to be the last man in the town to be converted. But yet there is proof of Jesus' words that all things are possible with God. A mean, dishonest, chief tax collector becomes a generous Christian. Let us think of your manager at work, or a supervisor, or a big boy in school, or a student at the university who is the most anti-Christian, godless person that you have ever met. Is someone like that coming to your mind right now? Then say now in your heart something like this, Lord, have mercy on that person. And then ask God to work in His providence and humble him or her, and that God would bring a Christian into that person's life. May even be you into that person's life. Now, the door of hope that is revealed in the gospel is very widely open. Now, let us leave it open as that, rather than attempting to close it to a narrow crack. Keep it open wide. We affirm that with all our might that Jesus Christ is able to save sinners to the utmost. There is never a person whom Jesus looks at and examines the person's heart and shaking his head and says, he has gone too far. It is too hard to save this person. He is defiant. He cannot be changed. No one. No one. The very chief of sinners is saved by Christ alone. The meanest, proudest, most cruel, and most vile offender receives pardon from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then for you and your acquaintances, there is hope. Only repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The prophet Isaiah, we read in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like a crimson, they shall be as wool. That is the gospel of him who transformed the life of Zacchaeus and made the money grabber for the first time in his life to become a happy person. There are no incurable cases under the Christian gospel. Jesus has come to give life to the one most evidently dead. And in the incident recorded by Luke, before us we find such an encouragement. I have three things to bring before you this morning from this passage. Firstly, the means that God used for someone becoming a Christian. The means that God used. I think about the great subject of the providence of God. Amazing subject. How thankful we are that our God is a God of providence. He's a creator, cares for His creation. He uses all things, good and bad. He uses them so wonderfully, sovereignly. Bring them all together to accomplish all His purposes in a glorious way. Nothing can ever go wrong as far as God is concerned. Great subject, the providence of God. Comes to my mind John Flavel's book, The Mystery of God's Providence. Wonderful literature to read. Providence worked in the life of this man. That's what we see here. But how precious the way that God led us to know Him and to follow Him. And how wonderful the way that He has led us until now. And will lead us all the way to our heavenly home. Just as it is illustrated in the Pilgrim's Progress. We were reminded this morning. God was there with that character Christian. And he entered the celestial city. Providence of God works in a mighty way. Now here we come to Jericho. It was an important town with many streets. But our Lord chose one particular road. And it was on that certain day, it was on that specific time, Zacchaeus, this chief tax collector, the businessman, was in that time, on that same day. And he was nearby. And he was able to drop everything, close his shop, and he went to see Jesus, the famous rabbi, teacher, and a healer. Someone told Zacchaeus, maybe his servant, maybe one of his friends, about Jesus. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. However, he couldn't see a thing because we are told in this passage that he was of short stature. There are a lot of people on that street on that day because they have come to see Jesus. Jesus was coming with his disciples. In front of him, behind him, on the sideways, a lot of people. Now Zacchaeus was there, but he couldn't see anything because he was a short man. We do not know how tall Jesus was. If Jesus was a tall man, probably Zacchaeus could have seen his head and face from afar. But some people think that Jesus wasn't that tall for Zacchaeus to spot him in the middle of the crowd. What is Zacchaeus going to do? Zacchaeus was frustrated. This wealthy tax collector, he gathered his long flowing dress that his garment he was wearing. And he ran up on that street in the direction where Jesus was going with his followers. He went the way that Jesus was taking. And we must do that too. He wanted to see Jesus. He ran before Jesus to the place where he was heading. It's important that we do the same thing. We come to church each Sunday. The only reason, the most important reason that we come to church is to see Jesus. Remember that verse in the scripture where two or three are gathered together in His name that He will be present. That's a promise. That's a promise. On the Lord's day, that our Lord Jesus Christ takes delight to be in the church with His people and to help them to sense and to know His very presence. And we Christians who believe in the Lord's day, in the keeping of the Lord's day, and coming to church twice on the Lord's day, morning and afternoon or in the evening. We come for this very reason. To meet with our Lord Jesus Christ was promised to be with us. Now, if you are coming to church for any other reason, and how sad that is. The primary reason that you must come to church on the Lord's Day is to meet Jesus Christ our Lord. And to long to know His presence as you worship with the people of God. That is why the Lord's Day is so important for us. And the church is so important for us. Jesus did not promise in the Word that He is going to be present when you sit in front of your computer. Or as we have done during this COVID times, meeting on Zoom. And our Lord understands that. And we are thankful for our computers, phones and Zoom. Because we were able to continue to worship. But it's only for temporary period. Our Lord understands that. Then we are blessed by that. Once it is all gone, the pandemic is gone, we got to get back to our church. What a wonderful thing when we did a number of months ago. It was delightful to be with our people in the church. There was a huge difference we felt. The presence of our people. Hugging and shaking hands, looking at each other's face, worshiping our Lord with all our people, praising His name. Our Lord was present and continuing to do so every Lord's Day. Think about it next time. The primary reason that you go to church to meet with Jesus Christ is promised to be in the church. How sad if you are doing something else on that day. Being in some other place. How many Christians today have no idea why they have to be in the church or to keep the Lord's Day? If you read your 1689 Confession of Faith, the chapter on worship, didn't say, or the our compilers of the confessions didn't say, worship, chapter such and such. And another chapter for Lord's Day. They could have done that. They could have given another chapter for that. But they put it together in one chapter. Religious worship on the Lord's Day. Why? Did you ever think about it? But you can't worship God without the Lord's Day. He created the Lord's Day for worship of God. Not for anything else. So you can't have true worship according to the scripture unless you believe and keep the Lord's Day in your life. Lord's Day is important for worship of God. You can't separate these two. We may want to. That's what a lot of people are fighting for. But God didn't design any other day for worship but the Lord's Day. It is on that day that He is present with His people in the church. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. We come to church to see Jesus. So there Zacchaeus, he ran ahead of Jesus and His disciples because He was coming that way. He was going to see Him. Now we read in the passage that Zacchaeus actually climbed the sycamore tree in preparation for his arrival. And I believe that as a grown-up man, I don't think he ever thought about climbing on a sycamore tree regularly on another day. He may have done that when he was a small boy. But he wasn't thinking about that. He wanted to see Jesus. So he ran and his mind is working in such a speed. What am I going to do? How am I going to see Him? I must see Him. He's coming this way. So he saw the sycamore tree, and it is not a tall tree, a short tree. So Zacchaeus, with his long coat that he was wearing, he gathered all that and quickly climbed onto that tree. Nothing bothered him on that day to do that. Because everything that was in his mind is to see Jesus. I must see him. So he climbed on that tree and found a comfortable branch to sit. And then he was looking on that street because he wanted to see Jesus. Now, if a small boy or your child or a son does that, now you would say, come down quickly. That's not something you should do. Well, if a prominent man in your town, well, I don't know, I know about our town. We have a mayor. Do you have a mayor here? Whoever is a prominent person. Now, if he climbs onto the light post, and he's up there waiting to see a preacher coming that way, other people looking at him will laugh. Zacchaeus wasn't bothered about anything. That is an extraordinary thing happening here. A businessman of a town, a chief tax collector, he's sitting on a sycamore tree. It didn't worry him much. And he was so eager to see Jesus. He was longing to see Jesus. And here is an opportunity that is presented to him. And he heard about Jesus. He's coming that way and I must see him. And this longing that he had, this curiosity in his heart to see Jesus, was put into his heart by God himself. It was not an ordinary curiosity. Zacchaeus would do anything to see Jesus on that day. A thief, the money that mattered to him. And that's the reason he opened the shop in the morning, to see his clients and grab as much as that he could. But he now closed the shop. No money-grabbing businessman would do that. Because he heard that Jesus is coming and he must do everything to see Jesus. That idea, curiosity, was put into his heart by God. Providence works in a mysterious way. And our God has begun to work in the heart of Zacchaeus. And there Zacchaeus, seated comfortably on the tree, longing to see Jesus. Providence, the wonderful way it worked, is recorded in the scripture in many passages. One of them is Luke chapter 23, in verse 16. Now here we have, as mentioned, this incident in the scripture, and only reference in the New Testament. We read in verse 16. So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Now we don't read about Paul's sister's son anywhere else in the New Testament, and only here in verse 16 of chapter 23. But the focus here is not on his mother, but on the young son, Paul's anonymous nephew. The name wasn't given for us here. Now, here is a plot. There had been a secret meeting of 40 Jews who made a vow that they would not eat until they had murdered Paul, the apostle. Paul was in prison. So they told the chief priests and the elders of this oath that they had made, and that they wanted them to arrange a meeting, an interview with Paul. Then they will carry out their plot, assassinate the Apostle Paul. Now, this young fellow secretly overheard everything that was said. Now, he loved his uncle Paul. So immediately, he decided to see Paul and let him know what is going on. So he went to the soldiers, in the place where Paul was kept in prison, and he said to them, I want to visit my uncle, Paul. Well, the soldiers must have thought, he's only a young man, what harm that he could do. So they let him see Paul. So he related to Paul this narrative, the plot that these people are wanting to carry out. Now the centurion then said, in verse 17 we read, take this young man to the commander. That Paul said to the centurion. Take him to the commander because he has something to tell him. Now the young man told the commander everything that was planned by these Jews, the 40 Jews. So the commander rescued Paul. He rescued Paul by sending him off to Caesarea at 9 o'clock in the night. The most interesting thing here is 470 soldiers were guarding the Apostle Paul on that day. Now that's a bit of an overprotection, isn't it? Just a one man, he was guarded by 470 soldiers and Paul's life was spared. The Jews couldn't carry out that plot to assassinate the Apostle Paul. The young man that we read here, Paul's nephew, he loved Paul. Probably his preaching and his theology. God used him on that day. Providence wonderfully protected the Apostle Paul. You go to the Old Testament, you can read about Joseph. The brothers were planning to kill him. Providence intervened and they didn't kill him. He was sold as a slave to the slave traders, then ended up in Egypt with Potiphar because he bought him. Then he's getting worse. His ugly wife trying to seduce him. And again, put into prison. Paul went to prison. Joseph was put into prison. He spent many years in prison. There again, providence work. He had to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker. One after the other, we read about all these incidents in Joseph's life. The providence of God intervening in Joseph's life. And eventually, Joseph was an important man in Egypt. God worked through providence in order that he could help even his own family. That's how God worked through his providence so Joseph could be spared. A line through which that Jesus had to be born will be preserved. And eventually the Lord Jesus Christ was born, the son of Abraham. Providence, and the same providence we see here working in Zacchaeus' life. Zacchaeus had this strong curiosity to see Jesus. We thank God for every person who's so curious to hear about Jesus, know about Jesus, or ask you to explain about Jesus and his gospel. Don't underestimate that curiosity, that wee little interest a person may show and knowing about Jesus, even your little children. When they ask about Jesus, leave everything else and explain to him the Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Zacchaeus showed this interest in Jesus. He was quite anxious to see him. And then he was determined to see Jesus. Nothing would stop him doing that. Nothing is going to prevent him from seeing Jesus. No inconvenience, no embarrassment or public humiliation. He ran and climbed onto the sycamore tree, so he wanted to see Jesus. See that? Wonderful way providence worked. How did we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody told you, right? About the church, about the preacher, or maybe your parents at home taught you about Jesus, made you read the scripture, hear the story of Jesus. God always uses people, uses means. And someone has done that. Someone told me about Jesus Christ to me, one who's coming from a very strong, hard-nut Hindu caste. Gospel penetrating into my people, in that group of people, is, in a way, it's impossible, humanly speaking. But the gospel came to me. Never heard about Jesus anywhere before. Never heard about Jesus anywhere before. Never read anything about Jesus. But someone told me about Jesus. And there was a curiosity in my heart at one point of time in my life to know about this Jesus. Secretly bought the Bible to read it because I didn't want anyone else to know about that. And reluctantly but finally decided to go to church. Though a bit embarrassed in my heart, but I could not get rid of that curiosity that was in my heart. It's after weeks and few months, Jesus opened my eyes. What a day that was. Someone without embarrassment boldly told me about Jesus, just like Andrew said to Peter, his brother, come and see. That's all he did. So don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Tell others about Jesus. Don't think about all the negative things. Just be bold and say, come and see. Thank God the person who told me about Jesus. Otherwise, I would have stayed as a hard-nut Hindu. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. God's hand was there in Zacchaeus. He climbed onto the sycamore tree. God's hand was there. Providence works powerfully and in a mysterious way. Yes, these are days of little things. But for God, nothing is insignificant. He works even today. And He worked in the life of this man. So we are glad to read about Zacchaeus and his curiosity to see Jesus. And there he was. Secondly, let's consider how the Lord Jesus Christ encourages those taking some steps to see Him. How the Lord Jesus Christ encourages those taking some steps to see Him. When the blind Bartimaeus in the Gospels, he wanted to make contact with our Lord, then Jesus stood still and sent some men to bring that blind man to Him. When Zacchaeus was there in the tree, he was looking down, and Jesus reached the spot And there was no shouts, but he may have shouted. But Zacchaeus was quiet. He didn't say a word. His eyes were wide. All that he was doing is to looking down from the tree to see Jesus in the middle of that crowd. Jesus, Jesus, is he? That's all he was doing. But he must have got a shock of his life on the day when Jesus just stopped and looked up at the tree. And Zacchaeus' eyes caught Jesus' eyes. Zacchaeus is looking down at Jesus, and Jesus is looking at Zacchaeus. And Jesus said, he knew his name, Zacchaeus. He knew his name. The Lord knows the name of all his children. He calls them by their name. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. In verse 5, for today I must stay at your house. Make haste and come down. I must stay at your house. He calls his own sheep by name. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus was raised from the dead. We have children sing this chorus. Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. That's how it goes. It finishes with a line, I am coming to your house today. What do we have here? Jesus is taking the initiative to enter this man's life. Jesus, who is taking the initiative to enter into the life of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't say anything to Jesus. He's not shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Zacchaeus was mute as the leaves on the tree. He probably was completely shocked. He knew what the people in Jericho think about him. He wasn't cared about all that on that day. He was simply gazing at Jesus. He's not looking at the crowd or the little boys in the crowd or the pickpockets in the crowd. All that he was interested in, Jesus and him only. And he had nothing to say. It is Jesus who spoke. It is Jesus who called him by his name. It is Jesus who said, make haste and come down. I must stay at your house. Now, Zacchaeus' journey up the tree was very effective. But it wasn't so when he came down. He just fell off. You would get a shock, wouldn't you? He came down in such a speed. That's what we read here in this passage. Come down right now. I am going to come to your house. So here is a beautiful relationship that is beginning between the Lord Jesus Christ and Zacchaeus. We need to understand it was the will of God on the day that Jesus Christ should be there, stop there, and call this man by his name. Small steps. God is interested in those small steps that you take. He encourages those who take those small steps. All that Zacchaeus had to do with this longing, feeling in his heart to see Jesus, and he did what he could. And he ran and climbed onto the tree because he wanted to meet Jesus. So you little children in the congregation, if you are not a Christian, if you are reading the Bible, praying, coming to church, doing whatever that you could to familiarize yourself with the life of Jesus Christ and the gospel message, it is all worth. The Lord is not going to ignore that. He is interested in every little step that you take to come to Him. We need to encourage the young people and the children. That's wonderful you are reading that book about Christ. And we need to pray as they do. The interest that they show. Don't rubbish it off. Every little step you take, they take, is worth. Because God is interested in that. He wants people to be saved. He longs to see sinners coming to Him. And we need to encourage people. And Zacchaeus, there he is. He made such haste to come down from the tree. And the scripture says in verse 6, so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Providence changed this man's life. Providence put that curiosity into his heart, that longing into his heart. Zacchaeus did what he could. Providence brought the Lord Jesus Christ to that place he knew as being divine, everything that is going to happen. He called Zacchaeus by his name. Zacchaeus came down. None of these things could have happened without the working of the Holy Spirit. Zacchaeus came down joyfully. What a conversion, isn't it? Thrilling and exciting. Jesus calls him by name. Zacchaeus responds. His heart has changed from terrible crook and thief. A sinner has been transformed by the powerful work of God. The words of Jesus Christ, that was the gospel. Zacchaeus was a Jew. He knew about the Messiah. Just like every other Jew. But Zacchaeus never in his life connected the Messiah to this Jesus. But on that day, his blind eyes were opened. Truth was revealed to him by grace through the workings of the Holy Spirit. The man's life was transformed and changed. He received Jesus joyfully. That's what God does in our hearts. Because only He can do that in our hearts. No preacher, no evangelist could do that. Our work is to share the gospel, preach the gospel, but it is God's work through the Holy Spirit to change lives. That's what happened on that day. Every step that he took was encouraging. Jesus worked in his life on that day. Well, people would think Jesus shouldn't have done that. There are many people who are watching, looking at what is happening. How terrible it is that he's talking to Zacchaeus. He's the worst culprit in the town. Jews hated him. Why? Because he was betraying the Jews, being a Jew, taking their money, giving it to the Romans. Not only the tax that they had to pay, but much more than the tax amount. Because he is taking that for himself. That's how he became rich. As the scripture says, he was rich. So everybody disliked him and hated him. How can this man, Jesus, can be righteous if he is talking to Zacchaeus? Worse, he's inviting himself to Zacchaeus' home. That's what people would have thought. We wouldn't go there to his home. They were all disappointed. In verse 7, we read, they all muttered, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Worst thing that you can do, Jesus. Sometimes we think about some people. Well, I can say that David can be changed. Maybe Joshua. But that one? Oh, no. Terrible sinner. I cannot be saved. Impossible. But look at the Apostle Paul. He was destroying Christians. He was an ambitious man. He didn't want churches to be established. Christians hated them, sought to destroy them, but God changed them. He changed them. And here, Zacchaeus. The world hated him. But not God. Finally, look at thirdly and finally the change that took place in this man's life. Sometime later that day, probably as soon as he came down from the tree in such a speed, he would have ran to his house. Because Jesus has said he's coming to his house. He ran there. He got to make preparation for food for Jesus and his disciples. So he ran. He didn't have much time to remove all the bad things that he may have had in his house. Maybe idols, bad pictures. You know what? But he quickly wasn't bothered about anything. Arranged everything in the house to make ready for Jesus to come in. So Jesus came into the house along with his disciples. Well, I assume most people didn't want to go into Zacchaeus' house, stood outside, near the door of the house maybe. Maybe some went in, but most didn't. But they could see everything that is happening from outside, peeping into the house. And Zacchaeus looked at the Lord, didn't look at the people, but he looked at Jesus and said to Jesus, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Now, restoring money sits in the law of Moses. But what Zacchaeus said there is much more than what was prescribed in the law of Moses. I am going to give four times more. All that you have to do is to just tell me how much I have taken. I'll give you four times more than that to you. And half my wealth to the poor. This is tremendous. He said that to Jesus. No man would ever come to that position to have a changed heart and say such things to Jesus unless he has truly and solidly been transformed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and come to have the true repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what made him to say that. We have conversions today. I love Jesus. And there are so many churches and pastors don't give such a person even time to think twice, to dump them in the water and take into membership. when he comes to church. First Sunday, second Sunday, two services. Third Sunday, one service. But you haven't seen him at a prayer meeting yet. And gives excuses. And it goes on, doesn't last in the church. Or even a month or two. So superficial, flimsy. Conversions, mere words saying they love Jesus. That's it. Nothing solid, or deeper. Evidences of changed life in people. If you love Jesus, you got to love everything that Jesus loves. If you say you love Jesus, then you must have gone through a transformation that Zacchaeus had to go through. Zacchaeus, he knows very well the importance of money to him. He was a money grabber. That is all what he thought each day. And built himself a little empire. He wasn't concerned about anybody. He wasn't concerned about helping anybody. Any needy person. As much as I can collect. All for myself. And maybe for my family. He wasn't worried about anyone else or anything. It was all his interest consumed in his heart with covetousness and wealth. Imagine him saying this, I'll give half of my wealth to the poor. If I have cheated anyone, I'll give fourfold the money I took from you. That's change of life. Change of life. Have you gone through the tremendous change in life? See, sin has been dealt with. If you hadn't come to know or to have that awareness of what sin is, that horrible thing that is in every person, the one that dominates in the life of a sinner, makes him do all the terrible things, doesn't give a man a peace, mind, heart, or in life. Being controlled and governed by sin, every sinner lives to serve sin and Satan. Now it is all gone. He's repented of his sin. He come to the realization of sin. Zacchaeus knew what a terrible virus it is, worse than COVID. And God gave him that understanding, that clarity. Though it all happened in a split second, as it were, that we read. But he had the full understanding of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ and about sin, repentance and faith. If such things were not in our lives, that we are just using Jesus' name for our own sake. You got to have the evidences of faith in life. Being faithful to Jesus. Being faithful to the Word of God. Worship of God on the Lord's Day. And using all that God has blessed you for the glory of God. And serving Jesus Christ lovingly and faithfully. That Jesus, it is He who is important to me and nothing else. Is that what is your Christianity? That's what true Christian faith is. No point talking, but you got to walk the walk. And live to glorify Jesus in your life. Zacchaeus was transformed man. Completely a changed man. People outside muttered, Jesus has gone to eat with a sinner. Just Zacchaeus' words reveals to everybody, he is no more a sinner, but saved by grace. Saved by grace. Jesus has come to dwell in his heart and his life now and forever. Then finally, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. He said, speaks to this, these words of assurance in verses 9 and 10. These are significant things that Jesus said. Today, salvation come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. Today, salvation has come to this house. This man too is a son of Abraham. Can you imagine those people outside who said about Zacchaeus and Jesus, he has gone to eat with a sinner? Now Jesus noticed that. He took note of that. Now he said, you call him a sinner, but I call him, he's a son of Abraham. That's what he has become. The Jews would not tolerate anything like that. Even when Jesus said, I was there even before Abraham, they took stones to kill him. And he's saying to Zacchaeus, he has become a son of Abraham. That's what Jesus does. It makes sinners sons of Abraham. It takes them out of the community, changes their lives, transforms them by the power of the Spirit to make them children of Abraham. That's what the gospel that we believe and preach in. Where do you stand before God this morning? Are you a true believer? You may have heard the gospel about Jesus Christ so many times, or may be interested in, but postponing, procrastinating, but not coming to Christ, not trusting in Jesus Christ and the gospel offer, not worrying about anything. You have not embraced Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord. Why? Why? Or even though the people considered Zacchaeus to be a terrible man, nothing bothered him to come to Jesus. He would do anything to come to Jesus, and he did that on that day. And Jesus made him happy by providing him salvation freely, by grace through faith. You come to Christ, He will save you. He will bless you with salvation and never to lose it. He will be in you, dine with you, bless you in every way for the glory of His name. Don't keep thinking about what you should do. Don't waste your time waiting for something to happen in your life. Jesus never said any such thing. He said, come to me. That's all he said, come to me. Zacchaeus came to Jesus. He didn't go to him. Zacchaeus came to Jesus. And Jesus offered him the life eternal freely. That's what he will do to you if you come to Jesus. Well, let's pray together. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for